You've reached the Monetization Matrix with me, your host, Christian Hansen, your expert with insights into payment and subscription strategies, where I discuss how to help you monetize your products and services for growth. Welcome to the Monetization Matrix, where today we will be discussing interchange fees and the recent $30 billion class action lawsuit settlement between Visa and MasterCard and merchants in the United States. So, thank you for joining. You are now in the Matrix with me, your host, Christian Hansen. So, what is interchange? Why does it matter? If you go to MasterCard's website, they belittle it a little bit, but let's just read their interpretation of interchange and see what I think about it. Interchange is a small fee typically paid by acquirers, the retailer's bank, to issuers, the cardholder's bank, to recognize the value delivered to retailers, governments, and consumers by accepting electronic payments. All right, let's take this apart. So it is a fee that the merchant pays to the payment processor, or basically the payment processor takes a fee from every transaction. This fee is passed through to the card issuer. So the card issuer is the issuer of the card that the consumer used. So let's break it down into more simplistic terms than all that jargon. When you go into a store and you go purchase a $100 item using your Visa card, let's say it is a really cool remote control monster truck. So you're, maybe at Radio Shack, go into Radio Shack and you have a Chase Sapphire card, which is a Visa. You take out your Chase Sapphire card, which is a Visa, and you tell the nice folks working at Radio Shack that you want to buy this really awesome monster truck because it goes really fast and monster trucks are cool. And it's $100. Let's not even get into taxes. Let's just say it's $100. There's no tax here in Montana, no sales tax, luckily. So my example still works. So you give your credit card to the merchant. The merchant in this case is Radio Shack. And I don't know who Radio Shack uses for their payment processing, but let's say it's, Chase Payment Tech. So your credit card, which is coming from your issuer, which is Chase, is then swiped by the cashier at Radio Shack. And the interchange, let's say it's let's actually look on Chase's, Chase Payment Tech. I'm using Chase and Chase, maybe not the best example, but anyway, in-person payments are 2.6% plus 10 cents. So on a $100 transaction, the interchange is 2.6%. So $2.60 plus, if you're using Chase, they're going to give you a nice 10 cent charge on top of that per each transaction attempt. So 2.6% of $100 is $2.60 plus the 10. So it's effectively 2.7% of the $100 that Radio Shack collected is going to be sent $2.60 will be sent to the card issuer. 10 cents will be kept by the payment processor. Plus, the payment processor is going to be making some other money in here. But anyway, that means that the merchant, depending on how much it costs for them to purchase this really cool monster truck, at maximum, they're going to be walking away with $97.30 $0.30. So they've already lost 2.7% of the cost. If you're looking at e-commerce transactions, it gets even higher, 2.9%. And plus, if you're on Chase's website, plus 25 cents per transaction. And that's because the concept here would be that the acquirer and the card issuer, because as we read on the MasterCard MasterCard statement around interchange, is that it's the small fee doesn't really hurt anyone. It's to help the government. It's to help the people. Interchange is to help the people. Well, it's more expensive on card not present, which is why e-commerce transactions are a little bit riskier, because the merchant doesn't necessarily know who's purchasing, because you're just doing it online. You're not present. And therefore, the fees reflect that because of additional fraud. When we start to look at the bigger picture and why this settlement is important, that we'll talk more about, $30 billion is not some small fee. $30 billion is quite a lot of money. To me, at least. It's a lot of money to me. Christian Hansen, $30 billion is a lot. And how do we get to such a large number? Well, the class action lawsuit. And if you really want to know, you can go to govinfo.gov and you can look it up. It's kind of funny to read the lawsuit because I am not a lawyer and I don't understand legalese. But there was a lawsuit that was brought up. And the lawsuit was from merchants. And in this case, in regards payment card interchange fee and merchant discount antitrust litigation. And it's 12 million merchants that filed this class action lawsuit against Visa and MasterCard for these interchange fees. And I'll read a small snippet because I like reading judgments from United States District judges. So thank you, Margot K. Brody, for this, for the following words, written very well, I might add. Plaintiffs alleged that defendants harmed competition and charged merchants supra-competitive prices by creating unlawful contracts and engaging in unlawful conspiracies. I love the word conspiracies and supra-competitive prices. Those are pretty cool. I don't get to hear those very often when I'm talking about payments. So cool to hear that from Judge Brody. Thank you. But this has been a long simmering debate. Merchants aren't just getting pissed off now. They've been pissed off for a long time, and that's because these fees have crept up and up and up and up. When you go to some restaurants, some stores, they might have a sign that says Amex cards not accepted here. Why is that? It's because the interchange on Amex cards is really high. How high? Well, if I go look at the pricing sheet at my friends over at Adyen, adyen.com/pricing, you can see that the Adyen fees, well, I'm going to leave France. I'm in France right now. For the United States, well, they don't tell you on this website. But anyway, it's in the vicinity of 3.5 to 4%. I like to mark it up a little bit higher when just being broad here on what the transaction fee interchange structure is. But if you look at that, it's 1.5 times more expensive to take a payment from Amex than Visa or MasterCard. So you've got to ask yourself, well, why is Amex so expensive? Well, it's because Amex offers all these benefits. And who's paying for all these benefits? Well, the merchant is in many ways paying for the benefits. So if a merchant is selling you a $100 worth of pizza and garlic knots, garlic rolls, marinara sauce, maybe some Chianti, some fine wine, I don't know. And your bill comes out to $100 and you use an Amex, then the pizza parlor, instead of like our earlier example using Visa or MasterCard, the pizza parlor is already going to be losing 2.7%. Now they're going to be losing 3.5% to 4% because you're using Amex. And if you look at $100 transaction, yeah, they're losing an extra dollar and a half. But then if you multiply that across hundreds of thousands of dollars of transactions, and you're adding an additional 100 basis points, 150 basis points to the cost of that transaction, then businesses are going to be hurting more. So why do people like the Amex card? Well, people like Amex cards because they get all these benefits. You have Centurion Lounge. They're very, very liberal with refunds, chargebacks. You get your bonus points for, I don't know, free massages, airlines, whatever it is that they support in the Amex ecosystem. You get your hotel rooms. So the fee that you're paying, the membership fee, the $500 or whatever it is to be a gold member, doesn't really cover the cost of all the benefits. The interchange does. When you look at Visa and MasterCard, they have very extensive rewards programs, which is why people like to join Sapphire Rewards and other rewards programs, because you get these benefits. How do the banks, how do they pay for these benefits? Well, Chase, when you get your Chase card and they offer it to you, they're paying for it with these interchange fees. And well, you've got to kind of start thinking and peeling back the onion a little bit about these interchange fees and start to question, is this must be a global problem. But it's not. It's not a global program. As a problem, the European Union has actually done something. What has the European Union done? Well, they regulate the interchange. They have the interchange fee regulation, which essentially caps the interchange fees for Visa and MasterCard at 20 to 30 basis points. So here we are in the United States. It's normally around 2.5-ish% for Visa or MasterCard. And it's 20 to 30 basis points in Europe, capped. So it's literally almost 10x, 10 times more expensive in some ways to process these transactions for at least interchange, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. I don't work for one of the banks. I don't work for one of the card issuers. And as someone who's worked with merchants for a very long time, merchants just, it's basically the cost of doing business. You just kind of have to suck it up. So what does this how did we get to $30 billion in settlement? Well, it's not really like a $30 billion settlement. No one is getting $30 billion. Visa and MasterCard are not writing a check for $30 billion. I believe that they're writing checks to pay for the litigation, which is like, I don't know, I think I saw somewhere $170 million. But the $30 billion is essentially because the agreement that has been struck is that interchange will be capped for the next couple of years. Interchange will be rolled back for the next 3 years. There'll be a 5-year freeze on interchange fees. give or take. I might be a little bit off in this because I'm trying to grab all this information across a couple of different places. And let's see what else. Essentially, because the Visa and MasterCard are lowering their interchange fees, that means that your acquirer will now be passing along a lower interchange fee arrangement to you as a merchant. So with that $100 Radio Shack, instead of being 2.6% plus 10 cents, it could be 2.2% or 2.5. That's going to go down. Plus, you'll probably still have that 10 cents. But you as a merchant will be paying less, which means that in an ideal world, the customers are paying less because there's not as much markup happening in the payments space. We'll see what happens there. There is a Nielsen report which states that in 2023, United States merchants paid $72 billion in interchange fees. So $30 billion stretched over 5 years, that's $6 billion a year less that Visa and MasterCard will be able to claim as profit. So they're still going to be making a lot of money. There's still billions and billions of transactions going through Visa and MasterCard, and they're still going to be charging their 2+ percentage points. Not percentage points, but they're 2+ percent. And I don't know yet how this will affect some other acquirers. So how will Square, how will Adyen, how will Chase, Chase is kind of on both sides here. How will they react to this? How will Square react to this? I think what will really happen is just bills will go down a little bit for a little while, but nothing really too crazy is happening here. We have a lawsuit. Some people don't think that it went far enough. There is a Credit Card Competition Act that Senator Richard Durbin put together. You can read it over on Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, .senate.gov. So there are folks out there fighting for consumer rights. There is legislation that is being proposed to try to make some of these changes more permanent. A couple of years does not, in my opinion, change things too dramatically. It's not as though interchange is disappearing. It's not going away. It's not being reduced by 50%. It's just going to be going down a little bit. And so there you go. The be all end all of this is that the Visa and MasterCard networks cannot charge as much for the next couple of years. They will still be charging some amount, a majority. I'm thinking it's probably like 85, 95% of what they were charging before. They're going to leave a little bit on the table because they have to now as part of the settlement. They will still be making billions and billions of dollars, processing trillions of dollars a year in the United States at any place that takes Visa or MasterCard, which are the two primary networks in the United States. And consumers probably won't know the difference. Now, there is supposedly some little nuanced changes here. One is that merchants are supposed to be able to have some sort of choice moving forward with the rails that they choose to process their payments. In my mind, I don't know how this is going to really work. That presupposes that your acquirer is set up to do this and that you have some sort of sophistication to find the lowest cost route for your transaction. you'll have to weigh that against your optimizing for highest authorization settlement rate as well. So cheapest might not be the best. And if you're a merchant, you want the money. So what does an extra couple percentage points, bips, at the end of the day really do to things? Probably not too much. You probably would rather have the money. You want to get it fast. You want to make sure that you can close the sale. The other thing that some folks are speculating about, which I don't know where it's going to go, is that some of these reward programs won't have as much money to pay for the rewards because the interchange fees will be less. So, AKA the issuers of these cards won't be collecting as much money. The issuers will now decide to, I don't know, scrap or lower the benefits. So less free rooms at Marriott or Hyatt, less Delta Sky Miles, less, I don't know. I haven't really heard anything yet. This just broke, I think, yesterday on Tuesday, March 26, 2024. So if you're listening to this way in the future, hello from the past, and thank you for listening. So yeah, there you go. I don't know. Pessimistic? Realistic? I'm not optimistic about this settlement. I'm not going to see any more money. I don't think that many merchants will notice the difference, to be honest. That's just my Christian Hansen feedback. What do you guys think? What do you, the listeners, think this new lawsuit will do in terms of long-term change? Am I just being a curmudgeon? My wife says I'm a curmudgeon. It's probably true. Are there some things I don't understand about this that I should understand? And time will tell. So thank you for listening, and I bid you adieu and hope that you have a great day wherever you are and whenever it is that you listen to this. Thank you.
Remember to hit that subscribe button and tell all your nerdy friends.